It is Wednesday. That means we always head to Ellettsville, and before the food trucks kick off at 4:30 for Ellettsville Food Truck Wednesday on Sale Street, we talk county government with my great friend Marty Hawk. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine. I'm telling you, I didn't see any rain yesterday.
Well, I was downtown and over at the ball field and maybe just popped in here or there. But, yeah, it didn't register too much. So just enough to get my windshield wipers going for a minute.
Right. Well, that I was just thinking, I don't think that I saw it, and I went in and watered plants, so whatever. At any rate, here we go. It's Wednesday, and we always know Wednesday's a busy day here for county government because our county commissioners meet on Wednesdays. Well, they don't meet every Wednesday. They're not going to meet next Wednesday, but they met this morning. And, you know, one of the things that I mentioned last week, I believe it was, that we were going to expect to hear from one of the sheriffs from another county.
Right.
At the work session, so I wanted to bring you some information on that. Sheriff Skinner from Muncie, Delaware County, came, and along with Sheriff Ruben Marte here in Monroe County, to discuss some of the things that they are doing in Delaware County having to do with something called IRAC. Now, when I looked up IRAC, I was seeing all other kinds of things, but it's not as you would see IRAC generally. This is something else that has to do with, and I tried to write it as quickly as I could, integration, something corrective, support. It's a reentry, integrating reentry correction support. It's something that is paid for having to do the state, and they've just started out with 5 pilot counties, and Delaware County was one of the 5. And they pay for the folks who are helping with this, and they are people who have been that are in recovery now, and they are vetted by the group from IRAC, from the state, to make certain that these folks are truly in recovery, and they work then with working with the folks who are incarcerated here at the jail and doing support services there, and then after they leave the jail, they would continue that support service for another additional 30 days. And so they're working to see, does this work? How is it working? And so far in the 5 counties that they've tried it in, it appears that the recidivism rate has been greatly reduced. So they were not able to tell us just how much just for Delaware County, because the people looking at the numbers of the state put all of the numbers from the 5 counties together. So they're not real sure exactly which county did the best or whatever.
So what did we learn? That's, yeah, right.
Right. Well, if indeed they are receiving support so that when they leave jail, that they won't be coming back in. And what the sheriff said, he felt like in talking with the people in his jail staff, that they're saying they're not seeing the same people over and over again. And that was one of the questions I asked was, we know that here in this county, we just have, I watch jail bookings, it's the same people over and over again. It's just like, I don't know, why don't they just camp outside of the jail and just keep going back in? I don't know. But at any rate, and I also wanted to know how long it took them to actually, from beginning the meetings until they actually was able to put it in place. And they did theirs from beginning to end and moving forward in less than a year. So, Monroe County always is a bit slow. As I said, we get locked in meeting after meeting and get lost in minutia.
Did you learn why they got it done so quickly? Were there any clues there we could take and pass along? I don't know. Yeah, this is sounds like it can happen. All right.
Right. Well, what he was saying, look, it takes buy-in from everyone. the city council, the county council, the mayor, the commissioners, the people from the jail, the city police, the county sheriff, and so forth. But it really has to come out in the beginning is with our jail, with our sheriff, because the sheriff is completely in charge of the programs that he wishes to provide within the jail. Now, of course, he has to come to the county council to get the dollars to do it, but he's the one, I believe, that will be leading the way on this if they decide to move forward. However, we have like 11 other programs going right now that the sheriff has helped to put in place to provide some assistance for mental health and addiction and the, you know, different things like the education, trying to get their GED and so forth. So would this would some of those have to drop off in order to make room for this? Because what was really clear was it takes classroom space for it, and it also takes jail staff to be able to bring people, bring the inmates back and forth, and there has to be someone going with them for the different counseling sessions and so forth within the jail. So all of this happens in the jail setting until they are released from jail, and then there's another group that also continues to work with them for an extra 30 days.
So this is all funded by the state? Who funds all this?
It's funded by the state as far as the peer groups that they're working with, but there's bound to be a lot of other expenses as well, because it appeared to me that we might very well, in order to make this work, we might need additional correction staff.
I think you have to, right? Or everybody's going to have to be retrained, that's for sure.
Right. So, and the correction staff, from the way I'm reading this, they would just be responsible to get them back and forth, but not be actually part of the program. But there'd have to be someone there to be oversight there during the program.
I would think so.
Well, one would certainly think that's maybe the way it would work. Now, what I did find unusual was that their average population count, you know, I look at those average population counts here in our jail, but theirs run from 290 to 330, and as of today, they had 320. Well, I put that in comparison to what we have here in our county. Our total population for Monroe County, I looked up on, you know, how you Google everything,
sure,
was 139,717, and Delaware County was about 112,000 population. Now, if their population, 112, ours is right at 140, and their jail population is running more like 220, and we have a lot more people living here, and our jail population today is 192, and sometimes not that high. So maybe we do a lot more pretrial release than they do. And how helpful is this going to be to those who are not? I know when we've done programs in the past in the jail, they were available to those inmates who were going to be in the jail setting for a certain length of time so that they would have time to actually benefit from the programs. It doesn't appear that's the way this particular program works. But
now, can we be a part of this program, or are we just looking at this for ideas and answers?
Well, I think that our sheriff is looking at lots of different ideas, but this is one that many believe is something to at least consider. But right now, since the state started out with only five, then they'll have more that will get on board in July, and then perhaps more in December. You know, the state does July and December. situation. So we certainly wouldn't be ready to do anything by July, but let's say if everyone got together and they could do something by December, we wouldn't even know if we would be able to be on that December call as far as getting on the list of approved counties, because certainly they probably just have a dollar amount that they have to work with. So I just wanted to bring that information to you because we don't really know what's going to happen. But I say kudos to the sheriff and the jail commander and so forth trying to reach out to see, are there other programs that we could benefit from? Because we know that a majority of the people that's incarcerated has to do with substance abuse, other addictions, and mental health problems. And so many of them are really of a violent nature, which it appears to me would not be a part of this program.
I see what you're saying. Right. It's not one size fits all, right?
Right. And people can say, even if the courts would suggest that they do this, they can't force someone to participate. Somebody could just say, no, I don't wish to. But one of the things that Delaware County is working with is with a group called ACDC, and it's a coalition between Delaware County and Ball State, because that's where Ball State is,
sure.
And that they didn't start that until July of 2020, but that's, they work in conjunction there with the people from Ball State. So there's a lot still, but we'd also have to look at, do we want to reduce what we're already doing if they feel like it's making a big difference? So I'm anxious to look at whatever.
Yeah, I think it paints the picture of there's multiple layers of this. There is a substance abuse, mental health angle. There's violent criminals and crime that go along with this. And you're going to have to cover all your bases. And it cannot be a specialty shop for everybody that goes through there. That's the other part
right.
of this. That is
And just like our jail, guess what else I heard? I believe it was either when I was researching here online what Delaware was doing, or I think maybe it was something that he said. Anyway, this morning I learned that they have all of their court services in one building, and it is an old middle school building that the county repurposed.
Interesting.
For their courts, etc. And then the jail portion of it is a newer portion of the building, and that they did that like 2 years ago. So I mean, that's something else, thinking outside the box.
Right, but we're not closing any schools here. We're, if for anything, we're going to build more of them. So that, I understand what you're saying.
Wouldn't have to be at school. It could be whatever. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there just because there's always something new around the corner. And the thing that's around the corner that I just received, just looked at it maybe 10 minutes ago right before I went on. I was running a little late to get on here because I was trying to read it. The good news and the bad news. The good news is that people are really trying to, there are some who's trying to work together to get something moving on the convention center. So there is a draft CIB interlocal that's been put together. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I would have it memorized, only I just now saw it just
that's fine.
Because
that's
I was
fine.
Studying the other thing. There are some things in there here that I like. It looks like okay.
Let me start quickly. Who put this together? And let's go from that angle.
Okay. It is, I'll just read it to you. It's a draft of a capital improvement board. Because, you know, that's what people have been talking about.
Right.
And the draft resolution was developed by Council President Kate Wilf, Sue Scambillary,
right.
And Penny Giffens, and along with the city and the county legal departments. So it's to be presented at a city council special meeting on June 12th to discuss the next steps.
Okay.
And so they sent it to us. in preparation for a discussion in the near future. So I suspect that we'll be seeing something about this at our next county council meeting.
Well, that's good you have it in front of you, that it's not hours before your meeting or minutes before your meeting.
Right. I'm sorry you didn't have time to study it a bit more.
That's fine.
Very quickly. What, there's parts in it there that I do not like, part of it like... because, you know, the state law says that the county council makes the appointments to the visitors commission. We're required by law. The county council does three, and county commissioners do two. And they've put together that the ones that the county council will choose from will have to be from four suggestions from the city council. So it really does not give the county council...
So it gives everybody kind of a say in it without giving everybody a say in it.
We accept that we really don't, because the city can say this zone, and the county council could be saying, well, we don't like any of those, and we'll do that.
I see.
No, see, but, you have to.
Well, that forces you all to work together.
Yeah, and so, well, and really, we ought to look at the law and see. And
we'll start there and work your way back. That's what I would do, but they didn't. That's not. They haven't asked
you know,
my opinion.
Because you've got.
Well, you don't want to hurry up and get to the finish line, then everybody says, well, you can't do it that way. Well, we just wasted all our time doing it that way. So, right, you got to figure this out.
Well, or maybe everybody will say, well, we don't care what the law says over here. We'll just add on there. Well, they're still choosing. They just have to choose from these four.
Right, so what do you like from this list that you've
quickly
read?
What I like about it is they're finally moving forward. They're saying, let's work together. And as I said, there's good news and there's bad news. And so there's probably some things in here that maybe needs a bit tweaked. Now, here's the other thing I like
about it. Fine, hash it out. Let's go. I like it.
Here's the other thing I like about it. The members of the CIB, Capital Improvements Board, there'll be seven of them, and three... appointed by the city, and three by the county, and those six appoint the seventh, and no, like, having to be approved by either the mayor or the commissioners. And those six will be in charge of appointing the seventh.
Truly elected officials that have to do that, okay.
And then, but you can't be an elected official to serve on, you can't be involved in any of the other things to serve on the CIB board.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot in there that gives us hope of a pathway forward. And that's what we have to have. We have to have people who say, look, we want to start moving pathway forward. Because remember, both the city and the county have to put together budgets for next year.
That could involve this, right?
Yeah, right. And it has to be tied to what we've done with the money this year and what we plan to do with the money next year. So this should be perhaps a way to move forward to start working on some of that as well. So, yeah,
That is good.
Only thing that I've learned.
Well, that's exciting.
So,
now,
you cannot get to the finish line if you don't ever start the race.
you're absolutely right, Marty. I just saw a headline in Ellettsville said that you guys are going to raise your water prices. Holy cow, look out.
I know.
33%. Whoa.
It goes from... What was it?
2444 to 3262.
Yeah.
For 4,000 gallons. All right. Yeah. And then the other part out of Ellettsville I want you to give a comment on is we're going to slow down on the building of stuff here quickly. We want to get a growth ordinance, or what do you call one of those zoning ordinances in place?
Right, a UDO. I think they really just did not want to have storage buildings everywhere because... it's important that we grow in a fashion that's going to help create jobs and create economic vitality. And I think it was a good move because it doesn't say just any place. It said, let's see, what was it? It was gas stations.
Storage places, right.
Whatever. Because I think Ellettsville has really... proven their point. They are a welcoming community, and they want to grow in such a way that people want to live here. they want to see a growth in our single-family housing over here. So, and we've seen that explode over here. And because of that, it kept that total rate down, and so the taxes did not explode as high over here as one might have thought had we not had that kind of growth in our assessed values due to new housing starts, not just because all the other houses are worth more, because there's, you know, every time you stop the growth of new housing going up, that means the existing housing that there's more of a demand for will raise, I mean, that's just the way the market works, those prices will go up, the assessed values will go up. Now we're seeing throughout the state, one of the last reports, we were seeing the reduction in assessed values going down by 4%. I'm not saying that's what's happening here. It's just I saw it one of the state reports. So, but it, that will take a while before that hits our assessed value for taxation, because remember, we're always working a couple of years behind.
Correct, in arrears,
the way
right.
The law is put together.
Yeah. Gas stations, storage units, vape shops, paraphernalia stores, and adult bookstores and convenience stores will be the moratorium recommended by Plan Commission members. The article goes on to say there was no public comment on the proposal, so there you have it. So we're up to date
right
on everything that's going on over there. I want you to stay cool this weekend. It's going to be 90 degrees Friday.
Well, I know, and it's going to be really hot out there for all the people who want to go fishing. But the good news, the good news of people who enjoy fishing or just want to see if they would enjoy it, June through the 4th is free fishing weekend.
Thank you, DNR. That's awfully nice of you.
You don't have to have a license, and there's a lot of folks who will want to say, come on, kiddos, let's see if anybody would like to go out.
Well, if you're going to be hot, you might as well be standing right next to a body of water to cool off. We hope everybody is safe, but that is a great recommendation to pass on. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend, Marty. Long weekend?
Well, I studied.
Well, then.
My girls weren't here, and I needed to do my continuing education for real estate, and I forced myself to get it done, and I did. And that's just so my daughter is coming this coming month, and we're going to be spending a lot of time together.
Oh,
and
I remember.
I do not want to be staring at that when she's here.
That's right. So, clear conscience. That's good. Clear conscience. You're up to speed, and you can just have fun all summer long here in Monroe County. Great stuff.
Right. Looking forward to it. This is such a beautiful place to just enjoy life. I'm so grateful to be living right here in Monroe County.
Well, we're grateful to have you every Wednesday as well. I'll give you a couple weeks off when your daughter's in town, but come back and talk to us next week, I beg you, please.
I will do that.
Thanks, Marty.
Okay.
Marty Hawk.
Okay, bye-bye.